Welcome to Miracle Nutrition with Hardy Wyatt. I'm Hardy Wyatt. Join me now, won't you? For you think I'm going to say something now? I won't. I will defy your expectations. You knew I'd do that. Oh, my friends, it's so good to be with you. So, if I do the same thing all the time, I will be predictable. If I do something different all the time, I will be unpredictable, but predictably so. Now, what if there was a state or a place where you could be both predictable and unpredictable at the same time, because it was never clear that you were actually doing anything?
What if you couldn't do predictions because mid-guess your answer was always rendered moot?
Hey, look at this old TV. That's a relic. 70s maybe? Do I remember seeing it there before? Oh yeah, right, it's Hardy's. And it's special. And I'm either supposed to touch it or never touch it. I can't remember. But either way, he was adamant. I wonder if it turns on. I'm eager to see if it shows 70s TV or modern TV. Or none at all. Or alien transmissions, which is possible. All right, plugged in. And on. And nothing. Did Hardy say don't click around? Anyway, I'll click around.
Register, everybody.
I need to ask you something. Something doesn't feel right.
Oh, that might be my doing.
I keep hearing music.
And laughter, right?
Yeah. Mostly after things I say and do. And me. There's laughs after I say lines.
Okay, anyway. I click the dials on the TV that turns reality into a made-for-TV movie.
I specifically said don't touch that, and then explained what it does and how and why turning it on is a very bad idea.
I remember when you said, now listen carefully, and also when you asked, got it?
But not so much the in-between stuff.
No, not the in-between stuff. I had distracting, obtrusive thoughts for a brief second, but it was enough, I guess.
I mentioned how this TV set was like Jumanji, but instead of a game, it sucks you into a 70s TV movie. So there's no solving it or anything. You're just trapped in a predictable world.
A predictable world. That's how it started. I said I wish that the world was more predictable, and you said, no, you don't, and then you showed me the TV.
Yes.
Ah, all this is coming together. I could do a Hardy Wyatt explanation video now.
So we're trapped in a TV movie, and we don't know the plot or anything, but they're usually banal and easy to figure out.
How do we get out?
Well, we just go through the motions. If someone calls you Mr. Jones, you say yes.
Play along then, and we get out.
Hey, you guys, come here. You gotta see this. I think we can get off the island now.
Butchie, what are you doing here?
I thought you could watch a McCloud on that old TV, so I got sucked into it. Can we agree to stop quipping or joking or something to stop the laugh track? But what if this is a comedy?
But she's right. If it's a comedy, we don't have a choice.
Great. When I want to get a laugh, I can't. And then when I don't, I get peels.
Peels?
That's a word, right? Stop, stop. Let's practice stillness. The predictability could crush us. So I was exploring this part of the island.
Island? We're on an island?
Play along. And I'm pulling through these vines, looking for kooky fruit, a pango, and I see a wing, and then a propeller, and then an engine, and then, what's the body part called?
Butt?
Fuselage. Fuselage, but...
You said body part.
Anyway, there's more than one plane here. I figure we could assemble one working one out of the parts and fly off the island.
Okay.
Okay. Is that something you can do, or do we need to do something?
I'm not real good at combining old aircraft parts into a new working one, but I am good at combining different leftover soups into one pot to make one Megazord soup.
I'll put these two planes together while you two gather bamboo poles to make the electrical generator.
Got it.
Not sure how that's possible, but if that's what we do, that's what we do. Yeah, you have no choice. No free will.
For once, Butchie is definitely right. There's no free will in a 1970s made-for-TV movie.
Well, let's gather bamboo and let Butchie suddenly be an aeronautical engineer.
Here's the bamboo.
I meant the poles, not the leaves.
Ah.
How am I going to make an electrical generator to start the plane with leaves?
Not sure how you'll do it with poles either.
I brought poles. Oh, good. Lay them over there. I'll be making a generator to start the plane. You guys ride the stationary bikes to get the current going, and then I start the plane, and you guys hop off the bikes and run after it and jump on.
I might just hang out here. Maybe you guys can send some help back.
Except we don't know where we are.
I live here now, maybe.
Just do it. You'll make it. I'll help you, Lou.
Hardy, this whole thing is crazy. The movie we are in might be predictable, but I sure don't know the plot.
Things do feel familiar, though. I've seen this whole fix an airplane and rescue the lost heroes thing.
I hope it's that one, and not fix an airplane and crashing to the sea and be eaten by sharks.
Fashion those poles into bicycles hooked up to generators, and I'll attach these wings to the fuselage.
How do we do this, Hardy?
Well, in this movie, it obviously gets done, so just do anything and it'll turn out right.
I'm glad there's no thought or effort involved. If I had to solve problems right now, I literally thought I was just going to mow the lawn and then the laugh started.
Come on. The sooner we pretend to work, the sooner we'll actually accomplish something. There. It's all done. It looks like a real plane.
It looks like when my cousin made a Toyota out of three different Toyotas.
It may not look like much, but it'll fly, I guarantee it. Oh, good. Whether it'll stay in the air or be steerable, that remains to be seen.
Hardy!
Well, listen, we know this whole movie just got started, so we probably don't die in the first few minutes.
Unless this whole thing is a flashback, or maybe it's the backstory of how I got my neck broken.
Just pedal the bike, and when I tell you, hop off and run for the plane.
Hardy, seriously, this is freaking me out. Jump on a moving plane?
I've seen these things, and I won't lie to you. I think we have difficulty getting you aboard, but then we do at the last minute.
The last minute? This is dumb. I don't see why I don't just fly the plane and you guys pedal since I have a pilot's license.
You have a pilot's license?
Yeah. I don't use it much because I don't have a plane. I got it when I was in Civil Air Patrol in school.
Oh, for Pete's sake, then you take the controls. We'll start the generator, and then when you're ready, start rolling. We'll jump on.
Roger. We'll cold and ply.
Okay, we're pedaling.
Starting up.
All right, run, Hardy. Got it. I'm in.
Hardy's lagging behind.
Come on, man, speed up. I'm trying. Faster.
He's falling behind. There's no brake.
I know. And we're up in the air. Okay, so we'll just send some help for him.
Why, this might just be the biggest event of the year. The Forgotten Friends, or at least two of them, have finally been rescued after having been lost on an island for years.
These intrepid souls survived, though, and here they are, taking the center stage of a well-deserved parade. That's Butchie up there, waving from atop the plane that carried them to safety. And there's good old Lou Register, blowing kisses to the crowd. I bet they sure are glad to be back, though their joy might be somewhat tempered by the fact that their friend, Hardy White, is still lost on an island.
Do you think they'll ever find Hardy, Butch?
I think once they start looking for him, there's a good chance. I can probably be some help, too, as I remember a few things that might be clues to the location of the island, like its coordinates.
You know the coordinates?
Yeah, they were on a map in the plane.
Man, that's fantastic. I can't wait to see the look on Hardy's face when he gets rescued.
Hopefully, he'll still have a face and won't be a skeleton. But that would be cool.
Oh, it's a trade-off.
To make it up to him, when he gets back, I'll tell him I bought the island, and we're all gonna move there and run a resort.
Is that true?
Yeah.
And so that's how we decided to come back here and run a resort that we all now work at. Weird.
I knew you'd come back for me.
Of course. I know what the guilt of letting someone die can do to one's mood. From poetry.
Who's our first guest on the island, Lou?
This is Oliver and Bettina from the Mozahoet Show. They produce a radio show together.
Is it a radio show or a TV show?
I don't know, man. I listen to the TV, but I don't really watch because of my needlepoint. So to me, it's the same. Anyway, they're here to relax because Oliver gets too worked up about the show and Bettina is worried about his health.
Well, they came to the right place.
Oh, and who is this? This is Hans, the Baron of Baltimore.
I didn't know there was a Baron of Baltimore.
There's not. And Hans is about to learn that and many other things about himself he thought that are not true.
Why is that?
Because of predictability. This is a perfectly predictable world.
Yes, it is.
But one thing we know about the world is how unpredictable it can be.
Also true.
So as long as it's predictably unpredictable, we are fine.
What are you getting at, Lou?
Hardy, there's a problem with the TV movie.
What?
How predictably unpredictable is life?
What?
Is it like strange creatures appearing out of thin air unpredictable?
It is in fiction.
Well, which is this? Because predictable sci-fi and predictable rom-com are different.
I thought this was a predictable sitcom.
See, I don't think so. I saw a giant leg on fire in the jungle, and also a guy I thought was a waiter having a smoke was really a creature with an eyeball in his rear end.
Do they belong here? Is that what you're asking?
Yes, because we have tinkered with worlds and been little havoc-wreaking paradox creators before, and it's embarrassing at best and a threat to reality at worst.
Well, reality is not that hot either.
People say that until they have to live in a nightmare.
Let's ask Butchie what he thinks. He's been here a little longer.
Thank you for staying at the Forgotten Friends Resort, a Zahowitz Industries property. The Wi-Fi password is written on your coconuts, and the cartoon tropical bird will take your bags to your room for you.
Thank you, Faye.
Butchie, we need to talk to you for a minute.
Make it fast. I have to organize the big cookout tonight. It's the biggest event of our guest's stay, with food and entertainment. I work at it all year just to get it right. And if I don't, it could ruin our reputation and we'll go broke. That's a lot of exposition. I'm very sorry.
No worries. Here's our thought. This is seeming less like a sitcom and maybe more like a horror story.
Granted, sharing a tropical paradise with you guys is a mixed bag.
No, I mean, I've seen strange creatures.
What kind of strange creatures?
What Lou described to me sound like monsters.
Monsters? On an island? Like some sort of monster island? Like an island filled with some threat or mystery?
Yeah.
Like a mystery island?
What are you getting at, Butch?
Look, the monsters might be consistent. Maybe it's some guy in a mask and you're getting Scooby-Dooed for business or political reasons.
Maybe.
Maybe you're hallucinating, and that's what makes this island seem magical. The hallucinogenic fruit I mentioned gathering earlier in the movie. And I'm pulling through these vines, looking for kooky fruit or pango.
Kooky fruit and pango?
Exactly. What I'm saying is, what you think is predictably one thing could be predictably another, or unpredictably a third.
I am now absolutely confused about the degree of likelihood of anything.
I never thought you'd figure it out. That's a miracle.
Butchie?
What?
Is this Miracle Island? Butchie?
Butchie, is this Miracle Island?
Yes.
That's impossible.
What's going on here?
Butchie is not telling us everything he knows.
Like what?
A miracle is a miracle if you don't know how it happened, right?
I guess.
Like, you needed a green hamburger piece to win your fast food game, and it just appeared in your pocket. But I actually did it.
Ah, so not a miracle. Why is this Miracle Island, then?
Because real miracles happen here. What he means is, to be a real miracle, it can't be likely, probable, or even have a cause.
And this island?
This island is a place where things happen that have no cause or precedent and are outside of time completely.
Oh.
Butchie, did you make this place?
Yeah. You can make worlds without time. You just have to use something else to separate everything, to differentiate. It's like waffles. If you don't have yeast, you can use stiffened egg whites.
So what did you use instead of time to make a universe, Butch?
Stiffened egg whites.
How?
It was a miracle.
Oh, I love this room, Oliver.
Where's the phone?
There's no phone, and there's no TV. We came here to relax.
I can't relax. No one is running the show.
The show is on hiatus. There's nothing to run.
Oh, yes, there is. What if they rent the studio out to someone else and they gut it and make an indoor German restaurant and volleyball courts?
That's impossible. Just enjoy the fresh air.
Fresh air? It smells funny.
Those are flowers.
I'm used to the smell of stage lights and most cheap cologne. I tell you, if I'm not worrying about the show, I have no idea what I'll do.
Isn't there something you've always wanted to do? Swim, jet ski, parasail?
Well, I want to see Mo get to the studio on time for once.
Something non-show related.
Well, to be honest, I've never seen the ocean.
Well, let's show you the ocean.
Show you the ocean? I'd love to. Here, take a look at the bottom of the ocean.
Where did Oliver go?
To the bottom of the ocean, like he wanted.
He'll drown.
Don't be silly, drown. I turned him into a fish first.
I don't think I mind being a fish. It took me a few seconds to adjust, but it turns out I needed a more fundamental existence. I was too caught up in problems that weren't really mine, or anyone's, actually. They were imagined problems for a life I imagined I had. This is more like it. Swim and eat until I don't. Pretty clear cut. To think I wasted all that energy on a show. Entertainment. Granted, it brought joy to a lot of folks. But dealing with that Mo every week, I couldn't keep going like that. Mo's attitude was right, though. We do what we do. We make the show we make. It succeeds or fails. We live or die. Enjoy your sandwich or whatever it is you're eating there, Oliver, he'd say. Oh, I miss Mo and Bettina. But I like being a fish.
Yes, ma'am. Hi, I'm Bettina Blurb. I'm staying in hut number 2.
Oh, that's my old hut. Best on the island.
We love it.
Extra capacity toilet.
Yes, very nice. I'm staying there with my friend Oliver Onions, and, well, one of the staff, or I'm not sure who it is, turned him into a fish on the bottom of the ocean.
Oh, can you describe the staff?
Looked like a large flaming head, floating and laughing.
Ah, well, that doesn't sound as if that's staff, but it's probably some of the entertainment here on the island for our big feast tonight. There's entertainment and a beautiful 10-course meal. One of the performers went a little overboard, maybe. So where's Oliver? Oh, he's fine, I bet. They're showing him around the festival site, maybe. Maybe they're letting him sample some of the delicacies before the big night. Oh, all right, good. It was just so startling. I imagine. Please enjoy your stay and tell all your friends about the big party. Ah, crap.
Hello?
Hardy.
Yeah, Butch?
I think one of the monsters
turned a guest into a fish.
A fish?
A fish? Oh, I know that one. Give me the phone.
Butchie, was he a big flaming head?
Yeah. Look, we need to get our guest back. If word gets out,
then the big party will be ruined.
He's usually running around with the monster with a butthole eye. Hardy and I will go look for it, and you stay at the front desk in case the fish guest calls.
Will do.
The ocean is beautiful, isn't it?
I suppose.
What's got you down, pal?
It's nothing. Just everything I ever believed about myself was a lie.
Is that right?
Yes. I thought I was somebody, but lo and behold, I'm nobody.
Well, what happened?
All my life I thought I was nobility. The Baron of Baltimore. I was raised from a child believing that I was entitled by birth to the vaunted legacy of the greater Baltimore area. But not only am I not a real baron, I'm no nobility at all. Nor is my family. And yes, there is a Baltimore, and it's not this one. Nor does it refer to the town in Maryland.
Oh, that's tough.
You have no idea. To go in one day from feeling like the luckiest man on earth to a piece of insignificant common dirt, no offense.
None taken.
And yet I realize how repulsively offensive that sounded.
No, I get it. It's jarring to discover lies that have been told to you.
Amen. At the end of the day, I can eat off of a silver or plastic spoon. But it's the lie and the uncertainty that comes with the realization that your reality was fiction for so long. What else do I believe that is totally not true?
Well, some of it doesn't matter if it's not your fault.
What do you mean?
I mean, if this is all a fictional creation, if you're living in a simulated world created by the guy behind the hotel desk in order to rid people's experience of predictions and expectations...
Well, that sounds irresponsible.
Daring, let's say.
Yes, agreed. If none of this is real, I can't be faulted for believing it is.
Exactly.
But what about thinking your family is one thing, and then finding out they aren't as great as they say they are? And neither are you.
Everything looks great for the party, Butch.
The food is here, and the entertainment is here. Now, all we need are the guests, and they're almost all here, too, now, I think.
Except for the guy who got turned into a fish.
Yeah, we haven't had any luck finding the flaming head who turns people into fishes yet.
I'm sure both of them will turn up. That's what always happens, right?
Sure, Butch.
Anyway, I gotta introduce the band now.
Hey, everybody. Are we here at the Forgotten Friends Resort, a Zahowitz property? Are very happy to welcome you, our guests, to our annual festival party event that we have with music and food. Yins are going to love it. Super high quality everything. The plates aren't even glass, though. They're plastic with gold around the edges. How about that, right? Anyway, here are some fantastic entertainment. Danny and the Groovesmen.
Welcome, everyone, to the Forgotten Friends Resort. This is the big party. The big cookout. Are you all ready to have some fun? And oh, I forgot to tell you something about this island. It's really called Miracle Island.
You're on Miracle Island. You get ready for your miracles, Miracle Island.
This is a really fantastic party, Butch.
Oh, no. Here comes Bettina. Hi, Butchie. Hello, Miss Blurb. Enjoying this lovely evening? Oh, yes. I was wondering if you've heard from Oliver. Oliver. My friend. Who you said was off with the entertainment. I figured they'd meet us here.
Oh! He?
Yes?
I'm not gonna lie to you. A monster turned him into a fish at the bottom of the sea.
But you said...
I'm sorry. I thought I could get him back.
Is he gonna be okay?
Well, I imagine he's gonna be okay for a fish.
What kind of place is this?
One that aggressively defies expectations.
I'll say.
No, I mean if you start to expect a thing, the whole place changes course. It lulls you into complacency, and then just spins you around.
I don't mind being a fish.
I don't mind being a fish. What's happening to me?
You could be on dry land one minute and the bottom of the sea the next, and it can still be predictable if it's happened before. If it's happened before.
Day one. Maybe it's not day one. I think I keep saying it's day one because I keep starting over. I don't know what day it is, to be honest. I don't know the calendar date, that's for sure. I don't know the day of the week. I know the sun's out, so I know it is day. But as far as time goes, I don't recognize anything. It's like seeing trees but not knowing their names. I know what it looks like. I can describe it to you. Just can't categorize it. So, it's a day. I'm assuming it's day one. Day one. It's predictable. I know how it's going to go. I think there's only one day. If there's one day, and I keep doing the same thing, but if there's only one day, how do I know I'm doing the same thing? It would seem endlessly different. I'm doing a different thing the same way every single day, every single day. I imagine they're single days. Some of them might be double days. I don't know, like when you get a peanut or something, or a clover, and it's all doubled. And I don't mean to be grotesque, but some kind of those two-headed calves that you'd see at the circus. I'd never really see one at the circus or the fair. I guess it's at the fair. Is it, though? I know I personally never saw one. I think I've been told, and I don't know why somebody would go see a two-headed calf. Maybe they're saying this, it's a head with two calves on it. Like, I'm one of those. I'm a head with two calves. Well, they've got stuff in between, unlike a child's drawing. It's day one. It's day one, because I don't know what other day to call it.
Hans, you look much happier than yesterday.
I am. I had the nicest talk on the beach with a fella. He made me see things a little differently.
Oh, that's predictable. He's an angel.
Indeed he is.
No, I mean, literally, that was Gabriel, the angel.
The angel Gabriel? Literally?
Well, the angel Gabriel Kaplan. He fused with a guy named Mick Kaplan. But he's a real angel and all. Horn player.
I had no idea. I'm humbled.
That's the whole idea with angels. They're good at humbling you without making you have self-loathing.
Yes, no bitter aftertaste.
Indeed. Well, I'm glad you enjoyed your stay on our island.
I didn't say that, but it certainly was unpredictable. Just as I thought it would be.
I like things predictable enough that I'm not frightened, but not so predictable that I'm bored. There it is. All wrapped up. All right, good night, everybody. No, so if you're redecorating my house or painting it or something, that'll give you something to go on. I want it to be a little bit predictable, so I want it to be a color I recognize and not one that's beyond the visible spectrum, which would be neat. I'm all for that. But that frightens me a little bit, as does furniture that blocks my way that's made of razor blades or something. So those things are surprising, and I never would have predicted that you would have done that, put a shark-filled moat or something
In my living room or my foyer? Or I would have predicted that you would have called it a foyer. I call it the foyer. I don't know if that's correct or not. I don't know the parts of speech or the parts of a room or whether a couch is a Davenport or anything like that. But I do know this. Oh, I do know that fear is really the only thing that's keeping me from letting go of my need to predict things. And self-preservation. I guess not dying. I do need to predict some things. Let's say I come to a bridge. And the bridge is made of wood. It's all rickety. It's like one of those things you see in the movies. Those rope bridges made of planks and they're all ta-ho-ho-ho. And I come to it. And I must assess its condition. I say, I got to make some decision theory right now. I got to make a decision theory like it's a painful stool. Because I don't want to have to go across this bridge, but I have to. So I think I got to weigh these, you know, the pros and the cons. And the cons weigh more because they've been weightlifting in prison. And the pros, well, they're good too because they get paid to do well. So, you know, if that's a real football game, who knows who's going to win? One of them has less to lose. Oh, so you don't know. But I weigh these decisions when I look at this rickety bridge and I think, am I going to plunge in? I need to self-preserve. And so I use my predictive powers. Oh, yes, they are powers. Some people have predictive powers like crazy. They are what they call clairvoyant. And they can see into the future and tell you everything that's going to happen. I don't know that it's true. Because that seems like, oh my gosh, if there were actually people who could do that. Just think of the amazing things they would do. But maybe that's not true. Because you think, if somebody even did have the power to predict the future, they'd screw it up. You know they would. They'd overthink it or something. Like, oh, I know this horse is going to win the race. I'm going to take all this money. And all these machinations and everything, mess it up. So I think even knowing the future, even if you were clairvoyant, you got problems still. I don't know. That's just my guess because humans are like dear little monkeys. Not the cute ones, but the ones that infest temples and have fangs. Those are oh, my goodness. You know, I tell you, when I sit down to speak to you, I want to be a little bit predictable because I don't want to, like I said, I don't want to frighten you off. For instance, let's say you want to be a Santa Claus at the mall. Or not at the mall, you say, but the locally owned bookshop. That sounds better. And you're going to do that, and you say, I want to mix it up a little bit, and I'm going to dress kind of crazy. I don't know whether I'm just going to wear things that normally someone might see in some kind of crazy erotic torture chamber. So I don't know, something like that. And you say, well, no, but it's Santa. People are going to get... They have expectations, you know, it's out of context and everything. You're going to frighten them, and maybe they should be frightened. But isn't it weird being frightened of something that has never harmed you? That happens all the time, doesn't it? You say, if you did go and you went to see Santa, but Santa was dressed in a crazy wizard outfit or something like that, and maybe just little shorty pants on, maybe hot pants. That's what he's got on. Santa's got on... hot pants, they're velour, and he's wearing sort of a top that's a Kiana silk with a print of just of Model T Fords. I think it's a sharp outfit. Now, no one like that has ever harmed you, and yet you'd look at that and you'd say, I think that, but that seems like something somebody harmful would wear, and you go, give me an example, and you'd say something like, I vaguely saw it on Rockford Files, because it probably hasn't happened to you. I'd almost guarantee it didn't. Not that I know, you know, what people who run around, and do they run around? They could just be walking, minding their own business in hot pants. I'm saying run around. It's like when people say prance nude. Anytime anybody is doing anything in the nude, they go, if they're offended, you're prancing around. You're prancing around in the nude. No, I was just actually walking from one place to the other. I wasn't prancing. So it's interesting. We all see what we want to see. So maybe something is predictable. If I have expectations for seeing something, like let's say
a made-for-TV movie from the 70s, and I begin to watch it, and then something crazy happens. Maybe I see something I didn't expect, and I don't mean anything surreal or you know, otherworldly, like something, all of a sudden there's something anachronistic in it. And, you know, it's the 70s, and they start talking about, you know, I don't know, Bill Clinton or something. You say, well, that can't be right. Nothing spooky like that, but maybe something that just sort of defies my expectations, just a little bit, enough to jar me out of complacency, enough to wake me up a little bit.
Oh, I like to wake up, but I like to wake up in stages. If you are sleeping in a multi-level inception sort of thing, you don't want to get woken up all at once because it's jarring, you know, when they wake a sleepwalker or anything. Say, gently rouse me out of every level of my sleep, party. All right, stage one, wake up of the dream within a dream within a dream within a dream. Trying to first wake up out of that one. And then we'll get, you can get up to proper reality. But proper reality has crazy things floating around in space that look like strings or, I don't know, they're glowing. So you might want to work up to that one. And just wake up from one into the other. That's all right. Oh, I'll wait for you. I won't predict what happens because I don't want to write your story for you. I'm sure that you want to write that. That's something you want to get to. And I will let you. There's two choices you have. You may write your own story of your life for you. Don't do that one. Or you can get a story that's already written and then just send in your name and they put it in. Now, they do that a lot of time with pets. So you're like a Spunky. Spunky went to Paris, and they'll write a whole book, you know. Spunky was on the plane alone and awfully scared until he saw the giant bone in Paris. And then Spunky knew he was in the right place. Turn the page. That's what I want in my life. I'll just get a life, and I'll plug the name of Hardy in. A lot of people do that. They used to do that. They used to be very popular. You can do that during study, and a lot of times during Bible studies, they do that. Say, oh, let's talk about Father Abraham. And I want to, Father Abraham. It's hard to say. It isn't, though. Well, you want to put yourself in his position sometimes. Sometimes the best way to learn in a story is to put yourself in that position. Say, what would I do? Would I welcome strangers into my house if I had no reason to be fearful? And what is the source of my fear? Why am I afraid of others?
Well, haven't you read the news?
Oh, it's Oliver. Hello.
Oh, I'm sorry.
He'll go back to what you were doing at the bottom of the ocean. Was Oliver Onions turned into a fish, you ask? He might have been. I mean, Don was turned into a house. Why couldn't Oliver be turned into a fish? And if he's happier and healthier, why won't we be happy for him? Even if he's never back on the show, wouldn't you want him, even if he's a fictional character, to be more content and less nervous all the time? Oh, the guy was a wreck. And the voice annoys some people. And so, wouldn't it be wonderful if you could just say, Don Knotts, like, to turn him into a fish? I'd like to point out Don Knotts was actually not turned into a fish, but he did the voice of a character who was. And that character wasn't just turned into a fish. The character was turned into a cartoon fish. So it wasn't just turned into a thing, but the two-dimensional representation of a thing, which is really very interesting, isn't it? Oh, that's a lot different than what you're used to. Not only are you a different species, but you're flat. Now, what would happen to your memories? Would you remember things in the same way without three dimensions? When I was in a neurological hospital in France suffering from a bad headache, I was being sent to have a brain scan. And they had already given me a lot of morphine for the pain in my head. Now they wanted to take a picture of it and see what was going on. Now, the brain scan apparently was going to be nerve-wracking for me. So on top of the morphine, they gave me some Valium. So as I was laying there about to have my brain scan, I experienced morphine and Valium together. Now, what happened is I suddenly felt like I wasn't myself. I felt like I was Barney Google from the Snuffy Smith comic strip. And I imagined that I was actually in the strip. I was two dimensions.
And that was all there was to me. And I was seeing other two-dimensional characters. Now, it was an extraordinary feeling. Now, I didn't remember anything about being Barney Google. And afterwards, I didn't remember anything about having been him. So neither before or after, just that one moment, I just remembered thinking, I'm that character. Now, who knows within that what life I lived, what yellow millet dream lifetime I experienced in that second. But I did know I was two dimensions. I was turned in to a cartoon character.
And sometimes I feel when I go to social gatherings that I turn myself into a cartoon character. It's just more manageable that way. If I bring all three dimensions to the party, oh my goodness, there's not going to be enough room. And besides, everybody else has brought either their two-dimensional shadow puppet version or just a plain old sock puppet, which is interesting too. I'm not going to bring the other half. I'm just going to bring the top half that goes, and I'll try to make it sync with my thoughts. Other people, they're more into motion and everything. They just want to be seen there. I remember you there. I remember your outline, a silhouette. I don't remember what you said or what you did. I just remember your mere presence. That's what I try to bring to a party, too. Hardy was there. What did he say? I hope not too much. I probably said something. I want to ask questions about you. I know that that's what you do at parties, and I've been taught. And I love being asked questions about myself a little bit. But they say people like being asked about themselves. And I don't know if that's everybody. What if it's just one person? What if just somebody named Jeff Murphy? I hope that's not you, Jeff Murphy, but just that likes to be asked about himself. And then everybody just assumed that everybody did. But really, it's just Jeff Murphy. And people like to be asked about Jeff Murphy more than anything. That'd be interesting, too. So all talk could just be about Jeff. I'm sorry, Jeff. Are you becoming self-conscious? I am. Stop talking about me. I wish, that's the thing, you see, the names are predictable. I predict there's someone out there with that name. But unpredictable might be predictable too. Because I know there's some, I'll never guess at some of the names. I want to say something. Have you ever tried to say something unlikely that's true? As an exercise? I've tried to do that. Just generate, it's hard because you want to say, I want to say something. Like automatically, like you would when you kind of just speak tongues. You know, like, ah, tarsum, fibrial, pansricat, penfist, lantica. And then, like speaking in tongues for some people, I want it coincidentally to mean something, but not what I meant. So that would be exciting for me. So I'm just going to try a couple of words. Jansalan. No, I don't think that's anything. Pravialda. Nope, that didn't come out either. Crosman. Crosman sounds like a name, maybe. I don't know. Who knows? But we tried. I tried to be unpredictable. Oh, but maybe you want to predict a little bit. I know that sometimes I remember a friend was taking money for shows at a college one time. And they came and they said, who's the band that's playing? Is it a nationally known act that we know and that we would know their songs? Because we don't want to accidentally see some local music. And their fear was that they'd go in and they would hear a song that they had never heard before. And that was, to them, that was not entertaining. What they wanted to do is walk in and everything they imagined would happen just the way they imagined it. They don't want to, a lot of people don't want to be alive. They want a lucid dream. Say, I want a yes. I like the idea of life. I want complete and utter control of it. Oh, well, all right. Good try. And how do they do that? Well, they turn to the arts. I shall create my own world. I will make a novel, and in that novel, I'll move everybody around, and they'll say what I want them to say, and do what I want them to say, and do what I want them to do. And then the same with movies. All kinds of efforts that we undertake so that we can control it and make life say the things that we want it to say. Oh, surely, I must be able to make worlds that are like lucid dreams where everything conforms to my expectations, and when they don't, it's because I want to be surprised, I want to be tickled. Cue clown, jump out of box.
I suck in my breath, my heart quickens, that's what I wanted, it was all by design, but I knew it was coming because I'm the one who wrote the clown in the box. I'm the one who knows that it's going to jump out. Oh my goodness, what are we making? Why can we not lay in confusion? Why is it so disturbing to us? It's the fear only. It's the fear only. I'm not saying there aren't things to fear. I'm just saying there are a lot of them, most of them are pretty obvious. And a lot of the other things that you do fear are extra. They're just extras. And they could be substituted with the unknown. You know, the first time I ever on the radio started just making sounds, I think I've disturbed some people. Because what happens is I'll get excited. I'll get excited about something. And because I am expressing it through the medium of voice, of human voice, I start to listen along with you. I start to listen to the instrument along with you, and it starts to sound like an instrument, like a tuba or like a trombone or like an oboe or something. Maybe not one of those. Maybe just like somebody yelling. And I have an urge to make other sounds with it. Because let's say I say something like urge. And when I hear the that part, I become fascinated with it. You see, children do this. We stop doing it because we stop becoming interested in these things. But you start making it, and you go, I can make my, and then you start experimenting with your voice. And I'm telling you, it stops abruptly at a certain age. And then you make excuses by taking language lessons and things. So I'll experiment with my voice by learning to, je parle français comme une vache espagnole, n'est-ce pas? And, you know, but what if? Or you could take singing lessons. Or you can take lessons in, like, Dada poetry or something. I would think that'd be a little better, a little more liberating. Make some sounds you didn't know you could make. You know, a lot of times they'll charlatan gurus or something. Two beautiful names for children, by the way. That will advocate some sort of silly, liberating sound making as a way of doing that. Because, you know, people are uptight. They need to let go a little bit. And a lot of our anxiety, our neuroses, comes from behavior. We are stuck in conformist behavior and it becomes oppressive. And we long for the free state of a child where we can make noises or laugh or be silly without judgment. Now, some people take advantage of that, and then they will have well-meaning people who want to be healed pay or something to make silly sounds. And then we who comment on things will mock that. We will mock them for making fools of themselves and walking around going, like that is sort of therapy. Say, oh, I'm teaching Three Stooges therapy. And now everybody now, this is a way of take a couple deep breaths, but now we're going to do some Mo sounds first. Mo has pliers in his nose. All right, Shemp, slapping his face. Like that, you know, and have all those people make those sounds, and they start to laugh, and they start to feel free. Because they haven't even made these. They haven't had any excuse to make these sounds. Now, sometimes we have cultural traditions that are let us whoop and holler and get it all out and express ourselves. And you say, oh, what are those crazy religious people doing? You long to do it, too. You long to do it. You have things in you. I know I do. I get all excited and I long to make nonsense sounds. Ah, there's more sounds in the human heart and mind. There's more expression in there. There are more colors of paint than you could possibly imagine. And there are more ways to say things. There are more ways to say language than you could possibly know. And you can lifetime of experimenting with them.
and you go out there and you try to be predictably unpredictable, I say.
Oh, look at that typical nut, typical artist, doing something I don't understand. Have you seen anything like that before? No, not that, but like that. How was it like it? Well, I saw someone doing or saying sounds. They were doing similar things as they were yelling and they poured something on their head. Is that what Hardy's doing? That's not what Hardy's doing. But, I mean, I've heard people want to do art and stuff before, so that's not, I mean, this is not anything special. Oh, it is and it isn't. It's not special unless it's your special thing. Now, you might not think a celebration, a wedding or a bar mitzvah or something is exciting or special unless it's yours. Oh, when it's yours. When it's yours, it is special. Hey, there's a friend. Is it my friend? If it's not my friend, I don't know. If it's my special thing, then I want it to be knowable. I don't want it to be too crazy. Oh, yeah. But what if you showed up at the party and something happened that you weren't expecting? Like pony rides? Ooh. Who told you? Oh, for Pete's sake. Is it pony rides? Yes. Well, no, I didn't. I just guessed. Oh, why? You ruined it for everybody. Well, you didn't have to admit it was pony rides. You could have kept lying. But you act like you knew that it was pony rides. That's why I said yes. It ruins the surprise. I'll have to get something else. Now it's probably just going to be me making stupid noises. Oh, I was going to do ponies. All right, well, I don't know. Listen. Oh, my friends, are we having fun? I think we are. You know, what was that at the top of the show? Well, let me explain to you because to me, there's nothing more predictable than like a 70s TV movie comedy than those late things. They're just, the formula is almost rigid. So, but, you know, predictable, those sitcoms to me, those movies are like sonnets or any poetry form, like a sestina. Now, a sestina or a sonnet, they got fixed lines and a fixed meter. But within that, the possibilities are nearly infinite. Not mathematically infinite, but I'm just like, as far as your imagination goes, infinite. For practical purposes, infinite, all right? Let's just put it that way. You can make them about anything. So the structure seems rigid, but it's not at all. You say, oh, I've got to make it rhyme. Have you never heard really proficient hip hop? Because if you haven't heard, you can hear rhyme do things that you couldn't even imagine it could do when you were taking poetry classes in school. It's just like it's the next level. All right. So language, even today, I think, has been more and more liberated, and we're hearing more and more great sounds. But we still. And it's still wonderful. You can still scandalize people by being nutty. It's so fantastic. It's been going on for a long time. A lot of people making odd sounds, doing unpredictable things for a long time, and people predictably are scandalized or surprised. Oh, it's so wonderful. It's so wonderful. I like things to be the same but different. We all get plugged into this template when we come here, don't we? Oh, this time you get to play this character. It's your turn. It's a role in a play. It's a role in a movie. And someone else will slip into it when you're gone. But right now, make it yours. You're the one whose name is in headlights up there. You make it your comedy. You make it your Gilligan's Island TV movie. Go ahead, take it. What are you waiting for? I'm not going to be paralyzed into inaction and wait for the grave, because I'm afraid to express myself, and I'm afraid to be either predictable or unpredictable. How can you be afraid to be both? Oh, we are living a paradox. Fear faces fear for... I almost said something really great, and I messed it up. fear forces us into paradoxical situations. How so? Maybe it doesn't. I don't know. That's just a point of departure for discussion. But I think it does. I think it does. Because like I said, it makes me want to be afraid to be predictable, and it makes me afraid to be unpredictable. And I can't be both. How do I be both? How do I be afraid to be two opposite things? I'm afraid to live, and I'm afraid to not live. Have you ever said that? Yes. Yes. You can be afraid to live and not live. And I'm telling you, friend, take my hand. Take my hand and come on over to live. Because you know what? There really is less to fear here. Come on, let's be alive for a while. Let's just do it to see if we can. The end is the same. But I want to be with you for a while. I'm excited sometimes. Those, if we can coincide those sometimes, there's a little bit of joy to be had. I'd be all for licking it up. When I have just a tiny bit of potato chip or anything or on my finger, my dog goes nuts. Never does my dog look at a particle of potato chip and say, that is not enough. I need a bigger one. No, 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 no. Right to it and savor it and eat it and eat the space where it was at and eat the air where it used to be and then sit there and lick the memory. That's what I want to do with you, my friends. Oh, I'm so glad that we're together for so long, too. Almost, yeah, it's been years. Hours-wise, it's going on years. Isn't that incredible? It's just, if you were to sit down and listen to all my WFMU shows, it would take you a year, over a year, a day. If you one a day, listen to them straight, that'd be rough. Don't do that. Don't even do that. I don't even want to do the math because it'd just be a few weeks, but you don't want to do that. Hundreds of hours, I think you'd die. And that'd be not worth it. Got to weigh things. Got to see if they're worth it. Oh, my friends, it is such a blessing to be in your presence. I'm so lucky to be with you. I hope that I've made you feel a little better today. Maybe your heart is a little lighter. Yes, because you ripped out a piece of it. Well, still lighter, isn't it? There you go. I will put my finger on the scale so you think your heart's heavier. I don't want a heavy heart. Well, then stop your complaining. I can't win. I love you, friend. And it helps that I don't know you. And let's, if we ever meet, let's try not to ruin our love. That's what I always say when I meet somebody. I say, well, I'm already love you. Let's see if we can't maintain it. I like to start from there. Because if you wait to build up, who knows if you ever get there. Life is so short. You are listening to Miracle Nutrition with Hardy White on WFMU East Orange, WMFU Mount Hope, 91.9 in New York City, New York, and Rockland County, New York, where I promised miracles. Well, I didn't promise them. I predicted them. Well, I was wrong. Man, I don't know if I was wrong. Who knows? A miracle is something that you can't explain. Has anything ever happened in Rockland County that you can't explain? Then it's a miracle. I can't explain our relationship. I can't explain how lucky I am to be with you. Is there an explanation? Maybe. But you know what? I don't believe them. I don't believe them.
Lost somehow. walking by my side.
When the storms of life are raging, stand by me. When the storms of life are raging, stand by me. When the world is tossing me like a ship upon the sea, thou who rulest wind and water, stand by me. 1st stanza of the great Charles A. Tindley hymn. Thank you. Take the elements. All right now. You are tuned to Sinner's Crossroads Gospel Broadcast. Amidst the thunder and the rain, and our trials and tribulations, stand by me, stand by us, stand by each other.